Good morning to each and every one of you here in Eindhoven, and also for those that are joining online. It is good to see everybody, and it is good to see that every Sunday we see a few more people. So that's great. That's wonderful. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus says, "Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples.'" Isn't that a wonderful question? Lord, teach us to pray. Jelmer and Rebecca, you are married for a good amount of months now. You might have heard about a book that is called The Five Languages of Love. And of course, for those who know that book, it's a book that helps newlyweds, but really for all of your married life, not just newlyweds, it's for everybody, about languages of love that we speak. And what we are talking about is the concept of, for some, they will say, if you show me, if you want to show me that you love me, the touch is really important for me. Another one might say, no, words are very important to me. If you want to speak my language, use words like honey, I love you, I appreciate you, and such. Another one might say, if you want to show me how to truly love me, give me little presents. Surprise me. When I walk into the bathroom and in the morning and I find something small that touches me. Spending time together. And of course, he speaks about the five languages. It might be six, it might be seven for that matter. But how beautiful is it when a husband asks his wife, "Help me to understand how you speak. Help me to understand what you think. Help me to understand what you feel. Help me to understand what goes on in the deepest of deepest. Help me to understand so that I can stand beside you in a way that is really effective." Or what about if the wife says to the husband, "Help me to understand what your needs are. Help me to understand your language." And when those things are happening, that is God's design for marriage. So now Jesus has disciples coming to him, basically asking him this question. Lord, teach us to pray. Help us to understand what God wants. Help us to understand how God, your Father, wants to be spoken to. Help me to understand to eventually to drive into that most intimate relationship with your Father. And we know what's going to happen. I know what will happen, Jelmer and Rebecca, if you start to learn one another's language. You get the merits that God designed. You get the joy. You get the riches that God designed. But that is also true about prayer. When we learn to pray, when we use the words that are heavenly words, we will get more intimate with our Father. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 5, it says, "They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long, and they love the place of honor at feast and the best seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the marketplaces and being called rabbi by others." And in verse 14, it says, "Woe to you blind guides who says, if anyone swears by the temple, it is nothing. But if any..." Sorry, I got verse 16 there. Verse 14. "But you, woe to you..." Why do I not find verse 14? "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces, for you neither enter yourselves in or allow those who enter to go in." This is not the passage I was looking for. I was looking for the one that speaks about the prayers of the Pharisees. 14. Okay, can you read it, Paul? Can somebody read it in English?
Chapter
14. The one about prayer.
20:40. He just read that, "Woe unto you, scribes and
Pharisees." Okay. I was looking for it. I thought it was an extra one about prayer, and I even added this morning. Can somebody read 14?
Okay, 14. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and you make pretense make long prayers, therefore you shall receive the greater damnation."
Okay, there we go. "For a pretense have long prayers." It's probably no wonder that the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Lord, teach us how to pray." Look at the Pharisees. Look at the religious leaders in these times. They only wanted to do things to be seen. In Luke chapter 5, verse 33, we read about John and his praying. So it was no wonder that they came to Jesus and said, "Lord, teach us how to pray." But brothers and sisters, this is something that is so important for us as well, that we learn how to pray. Because prayer is not just something that comes falling out of the air. Praying is not something that we just learn from nothing. Prayer is something that we learn from God. And so, of course, when we look at Jesus in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it says, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed." In Mark chapter 6, verse 46, "And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray." And so we can look at the Gospels, and we can look at the life of Jesus. And that is something that we should sometimes do. Look at all the passages where Jesus was praying. Look at the time element of his prayers. Look at the prayers that are recorded about Jesus. Look at his posture in the way that he was praying. And when you look at all of these things, it will change your life of prayer. And that is so important for us to learn. Going back to Luke chapter 11, when they asked the question, "Teach us to pray," then Jesus says this, "And when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation." Brothers and sisters, when we look at this prayer, and we look at Matthew and the same account, it has a few more things to say. But when you look at this prayer, what is it all about? The first concern of the true believer. What is it? Is it his health? Is it his financial well-being? Is it prosperity? Even though we might have not to say those words word for word every time, look at this model prayer. The first thing Jesus says, "Father, hallowed be your name." Jesus says, it's not about me. It's not about what I want. It's not about my wishes. It's about you. The same goes for when it says, "Your kingdom come." It's still on the terms of God. And again, brothers and sisters, this is Christianity. In terms of this past Wednesday, what is success? It's not about us. It's about God. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. It's about the things of God. That is what is important in true prayer. The things of God. Even Jesus, of course, and we know those verses. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, his sweat became blood. Can we imagine? This week we read about an accident. Two girls in a car. They disappeared Tuesday night. Couldn't find them. For 2 days they searched and searched and searched, couldn't find them. Eventually a policeman looked a little bit further than what he thought he might even looked. And then he found a car far behind the bushes, never to be seen from the road. One of the girls was dead. One of the girls was still alive. Can you imagine? For 2 days stuck in a car that's flipped over on the other side with your best friend sitting beside you? Can you imagine? Can we imagine circumstances in life that become really hard, that become really difficult? Can you imagine that when the balance in your account is far below zero, Can you imagine when life gives you struggles and life gives you health issues? What did Jesus say? When his sweat became blood. Father, nevertheless, your will be done. That is what Jesus said. That is the prayer that honors God. That is the prayer. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. And of course, brothers and sisters, are we saying we cannot pray for our health? We should pray for our health. Should we pray for our financial situation? You pray for it. God wants it. But when it comes to prayer, what is first and foremost? Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Then he says in verse 3, give us this day our daily bread. Is God concerned about us? We better believe so. God loves us. God wants to give us everything that you need. Freddie, you got your little boy sitting there on your lap. Is there anything in your heart that says, my little boy, there is something that I'm just not going to give you because I just don't want to? Which parent would say, well, you know, I don't care. Every parent care. Does God care about us? Oh, yes. Does God care about the things that we need? Oh, yes. So Jesus teaches his followers to say, give us each day our daily bread. With focus on, just give us what we need. That's enough. We don't need more. We don't need less. Give us this day our daily bread. Verse 4, and forgive us our sin as we forgive. As we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. So what is third? It's all in relation to our fellow men. Forgive us our sin, as we forgive everyone who is indebted to us. You know, through prayers, when you look at the words of Jesus, it's about God, it's about your necessities, and it's about your fellow men. Lead us not into temptation. What does that tell us? That tells us the true child of God has one desire, to do the will of the Father. And that is what Jesus taught the believers. He said, it's about God, it's about your necessities. And coming back again, it's coming down to your fellow man. And ultimately, it comes down to doing the will of God. And as Paul says in the book of Timothy, if we have food and clothing, if we have a house to live in, what else do we need? This is the heart. This should be our prayer. Look at James chapter 4, verse 1 through 10. And when you read these verses, just keep in mind, what happens if we don't speak the language of God? What happens if we don't speak his language? What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? If there are not the right prayers in your individual life, if there are not the right prayers in the church's life, what will happen? We can guarantee what will happen. Quarrels and fights. Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the scripture says he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us? But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your heart, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Brothers and sisters, this is what will happen when we don't speak the language of God. Confusion, quarrels, fights, desires that are not fulfilled. The Bible simply says, pray to God, and he will give you the desires of your heart. It's a passage that is sometimes a little bit harder to understand because we say, well, I know what my desires are. But James says, well, but what about those desires? Are they to glorify God? Are they for the common good of the church? Are they for the common good in your merits? Are they for the common good in your workplace? Well, brothers and sisters, we need to think about what we pray for. Because if we don't pray according to God's will, confusion will exist. Unfulfilled desires will come in your heart. And I know we have to be careful when we speak these words. I know we have to be careful when we talk about some of those things. But it is important, believers, brothers and sisters, that we learn to pray as he wants us to pray. I'm going to close by just saying, study John 17 and study the account of Jesus in the garden or in the Garden of Gethsemane. Sit at the foot of Jesus and see how he prayed and what he prayed for, and when he prayed, and how often he prayed, and you will be enriched. You will learn in a more and in a deeper way to pray according to the will of God.